If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, if you want to live with that the rest of your life, no. Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Knock him out the box.
Yes, yes, we're back. When I say we, I do mean we. Mr. Worldwide, world traveler.
I'm back out of retirement.
2 vacations in 2 weeks.
I'm on tour.
Mr. Brendan Long. This I'm is on Knock tour. Him Out the Box, episode 52. The
52.
Bud Crawford, Errol Spence episode. I was riding solo last week because this guy was on another vacation. My name is Vinny Paz. This is my co-host with the Comos.
Yo.
Mr. Majestic. Yo.
I'm on tour. I picked up where you left off.
What are you doing on this tour?
Huh?
Right. You're being a drunkard?
Yeah, you ask a lot of questions.
I do. Being a drunkard.
I'm taking beach samples.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I'm throwing kids in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm testing out various different grills in different states, right?
There's evidence. Seeing what steak
tastes like elsewhere. And I'm sampling the local fare.
There's evidence that suggests otherwise.
What's the evidence?
What you're doing right now.
Which is what? Quenching my thirst?
You and this Irish Billy. He left me alone too.
I think that's a common theme. Mm-hmm. He left me alone.
It's true.
Do I have to bring up Atlantic City? I guess I'll leave that alone.
How dare you?
Billy, what are you eating? This guy's always snacking on some.
He is.
On some chides.
Cheetos.
Get some cheese doodles, all right? Eat Wise products. I sell them.
Should we dive right in, B?
Let's go, baby.
Some news and notes, guys, before we talk about Inouye Fulton briefly and then get down to what you came for, which is Bud Crawford, Errol Spence, 5 years in the making. Liam Smith, Chris Eubank Jr. rematch has now been rescheduled for September 2nd at Manchester Arena.
That's my birthday and the worst present I've ever gotten.
I like that. Bakadir Jalalov, 12-0, 12 KOs, signed a multi-year promotional deal with Top Rank, and will have his next fight on the undercard of Jared Anderson, Andriy Rudenko, August 26th. So let's see what happens with him. Just one of those big, strong guys.
Yep.
You know. There's not a tremendous amount of skill there that I see. You never know.
Just a big bruiser.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when a guy's got a chin, then it can be problematic. So let's say if he gets touched and he walks through it, then even raw skills can
bring some success.
Yeah, it could bring some success. This I just wrote this because I thought it was funny. No, you'll laugh.
What do you got?
Oscar De La Hoya stated that Ryan Garcia made $30 million plus for the Gervonta Davis fight. I mean, I don't believe that for a second, but...
I do. You know why? Because he sold Oscar $29 million worth of cocaine after the fight.
Very possible. Very possible.
And whores.
Sure. Have you watched the De La Hoya documentary yet?
I won't. I don't care to see it.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Should I watch it for the purposes of this podcast?
I'm going to.
All right, then I'll do it for you guys, Knocker Nation.
And I'll give Benavidez.
Oh,
David Benavidez versus Jaime Munguia in talks to take place next. What do you think of that?
Why do they want to see Jaime Munguia die?
What else is out there for Benavidez right now? Let's say it happens quick. What are we in late? It's the end of July, right? Basically early on. We're basically in August. Say they make it for late September. Are you mad at it then? I mean, if they're building it as this thing and it's not happening for a bunch of months, if they're looking at it for Benavidez as a stay busy fight because we think we'll destroy Munguia, then, I mean, Munguia got hurt.
Dude, that fight's not going to be close.
But I'm just saying Munguia was getting hurt, bro, in that last fight.
Yeah. Like, Benavidez is going to decapitate him.
That's not going to – I think
– this shit's crazy to me. I don't know if anyone else is as outraged as me about this, but this shit is crazy to me.
They're not as outraged, B, because you have an understanding. First off, you've watched Munguia frequently. You understand his limitations. If you're just a person, man, right? Yeah, the word casual is so corny, man. We've never talked about that on that show. Can we just, you know, when slang goes out of style?
Yeah, like people stricken it from the record.
It would be like if someone said a record was deaf in 2023.
Yeah, it's fat.
Remember when Rick Rubin buried the word deaf when he started American Records? It was deaf American.
Yeah,
and he had a funeral American. For the word. Can we have a funeral for the word casual in its relationship to boxing? Anyway, sure. But people who throw on boxing every now and then look at Munguia as an undefeated Mexican fighter and look at Benavidez as an undefeated Mexican fighter, and you know, there's always that unspoken war between. Yo, this guy's a Mexican American. This guy's a real Mexican. You know, that's what they're gonna go off of. You know,
of Jaime Munguia is walking into a slaughterhouse, and he's not gonna come out. He's gonna come out a cheeseburger. So
I don't have any. Let's just look.
Like I'm surprised that they're making that fight.
Look, he's 42-0, 33 knockouts on paper. Look, Derevyanchenko was giving him work.
Yeah.
You know, an old Derevyanchenko. An old Derevyanchenko that moved up.
Yeah.
Benavidez is big, strong, and in his prime. And battered Caleb Plant, who...
is better than Munguia and bigger.
Yes, is supposed to be way more defensively responsible than I am here, and can get out of the way of punches.
Certainly
and can't touch. So what is going to happen in this?
Stoppage in the fifth round.
Oscar's just like sacrificing a lamb, which seems weird.
I'm telling you, this you're just going to hear this sound during that fight. It's a fucking buzzsaw cutting Munguia in half. I mean... That's it. That's the only noise you're going to hear. I think, Oscar's cashing him out. He understands that this is it. I've said it before.
It just seems a little early. Golden Boy
can't develop fighters. I wasn't the first to say it. When Victor Ortiz got knocked out by Marcos Maidana, I don't think I've ever seen Bob Arum so happy. And he went on like a rant about how they can't develop fighters. And they can't develop fighters. They don't curate fighters. They don't do shit. Everyone leaves them or they poach their fighters from other promotional outfits with bags of cash.
I guess I'm just shocked that they're ready to do it now, to cash them out now. You could still fight guys over there, ex-champions. I mean, the problem is
he's really big. There's not a lot of really big Mexican fighters. They usually fight in lower divisions. So he's kind of on an island. And that island has one inhabitant right now, and it's David Benavidez.
Correct.
And he's going to beat the fucking balls off him with one of the coconuts that's on this tree behind me.
Yeesh.
Because I'm still on vacation. Peep it. I'm surfing.
Are, that's, I mean, that's the thing. That's, are you really ever not? Do you even work? I'm the one doing all the work for this podcast. You,
do I even work? Guy retires at 45. Do I even work?
It's untrue. Yellow journalism smear campaign.
Mm. Just saying. Right. I cover fights in the field.
Here's a piece of news. I'm curious to hear your opinion on the piece of news. Bob Arum has stated the Shakur Stevenson next fight will be a major fight targeted for November 18th in Vegas. I'm curious to who you think it is. And is it Lomachenko?
He's fighting with George Kambosos on Twitter right now.
Okay.
Shakur Stevenson. I have a feeling it's more going to be along the lines of that guy.
Okay. I'm hearing Lomachenko, Kambosos. Both of them will give him a beating that I believe will put him into retirement. To me, he's lost 34 of his last 36 rounds in the ring.
Is he still doing like the glove gimmick that he was doing? And like the like he was wearing gloves inside and like the turtleneck joint.
Oh, I remember when you were telling me that. I didn't see much of the press conference.
Like he's like some fucking
like racer gloves, you mean? Like leather racing gloves. Yeah,
like a right, like a dick bag in a fucking James Bond flick. You know what I mean? Like,
we've done the thing where we talk about guys when we say certain things, understand that it's all relative. He stinks.
Yeah, he stinks. Not good.
He lost to Maxie Hughes. It wasn't close. It was a robbery. He posted something. Close fights aren't robberies, blah, blah, blah. Because you already know prior to this, even going back to the tale, but he's delusional and he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
He's basically a Greek Australian version of Teo.
Pretty much.
So Maxie Hughes beat him. I'm assuming beating Maxie Hughes, who was a top 10 guy, is going to get him another, I'm doing this in quotes, big fights. Loma is a big fight. Shakur Stevenson is a big fight. The beating either one of them will put on him is as bad as you think Munguia's beating is going to be at the hands of Benavidez. That's how I think him fighting Shakur or Lomachenko, who's 35, will be. Bill Haney has now indicated that Devin will likely move up and challenge Ruguru, Regis Prograis.
Wow.
For his WBC super lightweight world title.
I was way off on that.
Not defend versus Shakur. He said they will next after that, IA unification at WBO super light welterweight against Teo. So their plans are to go fight Regis. They think they're going to beat him and then go to Teofimo. Either way, it would be good if he does fight Regis and the winner of that fights Teo. And then we got a guy at 140 who used to be Josh Taylor, who you and I both think just at the Catterall fight, old overnight type thing. You can't stop it.
Yeah,
we don't know why it happened.
A lot of high level fights.
Yeah, fought everybody there.
Yeah, a lot of camps. Stayed at the same weight, probably too long for his own good.
Couple, you know, the Ruguru fight was very close and nip and tuck
and brutal,
rough and brutal. So you know, we can't say we don't know why, but that's what we both think happened to him, and both of us are scared to see him go to 47. Josh Taylor. I'd like to see him hang it up with his faculties, and I think he got a few good paydays in there, no?
Sure.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So, obviously, they want nothing to do with a Lomachenko rematch. If you gave me, I'm a fighter, I can make 135, I can make 140. I fought Lomachenko and got beat by him and got a gift, I'm not running that back.
Right.
If I'm them, I mean, you know.
I mean, devil's advocate here. I see Haney's point. Fought Loma, went to Australia twice to fight this interior gloved idiot. I'm done with this weight. I'm young. It's hard for me to make it. I'd rather fight my next fight comfortably. And I think I can beat this guy. And if I do, it's a great legacy fight on paper for me. I'm blown away that this is the path they're going to take, but.
Okay. Tell me why.
Because doesn't this like void their top rank contract? He'd go back to Matchroom. And again, you go to Matchroom. I think I stated on two shows ago, three shows ago. If he goes to Matchroom, that's it. It's just Ruguru. There's nobody else that 140 pounds. The roster's at Top Rank. Unless Top Rank gives him like a release for one fight, what a gross streak.
With the plan to, assuming he was to beat Ruguru,
he gets
the plan being he goes to get Tail, maybe you're right. Maybe there was this sort of...
Go make this fight without our money.
Yeah.
Go get Eddie Hearn's money.
Go get Eddie Hearn.
And then come back to us.
To give you a couple million, and we'll make the unification fight for a bunch of money in Vegas.
Interesting.
Maybe. Lastly, because we have more important things to talk about. Luis Alberto Lopez, who I like and who just flew fucking Mick Conlon's head, will defend his IBF featherweight world title versus Joette Gonzalez, who's fought. Good comp. Lost some, won some. Fuck, good guys. Yeah. Beat Mariaga, lost to elite guys. September 15th in Corpus Christi, Texas. Real quick, B. I just want to talk about what when I did the little episode Dolo, I read your predictions. I obviously gave mine. We were both wrong. We had our most recent pound for pound rankings. We had him at number two. I don't know how we do mostly share a boxing, man. How you can have a guy at number two in the world, watch him fight, and then say, wow, he's better than I thought.
Bro.
But I did.
Look, I'm going to make a bold statement right now. And maybe it's not so bold. He's the best fighter in the world right now.
He is.
That guy's the best boxer in the world right now. And I put a video of him scoring that combo to end the fight. Mm-hmm. And I said, witnessing greatness. Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone realizes that if you got a chance to tune into that fight, you witnessed greatness. You're witnessing a guy with destructive punching power, with superior ring IQ, with
boxing ability,
and
variation of punches. Pretty good feet.
Very good. Fantastic feet. He was foot feigning that.
I was giving him credit for his feet. In terms of the way we would give, say, Chavez feet, who was not fleet of foot, but somehow magically would cut off the ring.
In the right spot every time.
But he showed me more than that with his feet.
Yeah.
He's
so good and set everything up off the jab. He's so good. He's so tough. He breaks wills of men whose will doesn't break. This is a guy, Steph Fulton. And shout to Steph Fulton for going to Japan to defend, okay, his super bantamweight belts. To defend. He went there to defend and went to the challenger's hometown. So I got to give Philly's own Steph Fulton tons of props for doing what us, the fans, want our guys to do.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'm very biased because he's one of my favorite fighters, and I was upset to see him on the wrong the other side of that outcome. I wanted to see him win, but anyway, this guy Inoue is sublime.
I think there's, I'm talking about in the previous episode. You know, will his power
carry
up? Then I saw one thing I said, as wrong as my prediction was, it goes the distance. Cool boy Steph gets robbed and he loses. He got obliterated in eight. But here's something I said. I think I said it like 10 times in a 30-minute episode. He better be on the outside or the inside because at mid-range, he's done. He's in mid-range.
The whole fight.
Bro, what an awful.
He got the shit kicked out of him.
Awful game plan and awful corner work. just atrocious corner work.
I don't know if what Inoue was doing was preventing him or he under. It appeared to me like a guy who couldn't get out of the blocks. You know what I mean? Like he underestimated him. And Inoue just seemed faster, stronger, and sharper than Fulton predicted or was ready for. And he just seemed, Inoue was first the whole fight. And Fulton seemed, what's the word?
I use the
thunderstruck.
Word. Through six, I used the word. I showed my score, and I used the word, Fulton is perplexed. That's what I said.
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to where I was. I had to watch it. I had to put my phone through the TV. So I couldn't tweet or anything. And I had we were eating eggs and a bunch of us watching it. Guys who aren't
vacation.
Guys who aren't into boxing, my buddies. And they were like, so who is this guy?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, watch. But I'm bigging up Fulton, you know,
right.
And they're
which
like,
which he deserves.
So they go, hey, B, your boy, listen, I'm no boxing guy, but your boy looks like he's getting his, I'm like, he is. He's getting his ass kicked.
Yes, he is.
Robesi Ramirez on the undercard.
Looked amazing. Love that kid.
Oh, Mike, I love that guy.
Love that guy.
What did I say to you when I text you? I said, I can't wait to hear his reggaeton album because that's what he looks like to me. He looks like a reggaeton artist from 20 years ago.
He looks like there's going to be a video Bad Bunny feature of Robesi.
Right?
Yeah.
He's into shit like.
Yeah, and then you were like, is reggaeton still a thing? I'm like, reggaeton, Latin trap. Let's go, man.
Let's go, baby.
Look, before we go on, this is a pretty good segue. I try to do them. Can anything happen on Saturday, this coming Saturday that this show is dedicated to, can anything happen in that fight that would knock Inoue off of our number one? Agreed.
Quick answer, no.
After that fight and we do our updated pound for pound, we're telling you guys already, for B and I, knock him out the box, knock a nation. Inoue is our number one pound for pound guy in the world. This is histrionics. I'll almost say by a long shot.
Yeah.
Four division champion, multiple belts, unified in all of them, I think, if not.
Where are we? Some
of the numbers and stats are staggering.
I mean, he might be the best fighter the last 10 years.
This run is
incredible.
This run is crazy. And I don't, you were out of town. I don't know if you've seen Twitter or my tweets. And what I was saying, I had like four or five of them dedicated just to Inoue. Yeah. And I was sort of talking about how, because the smaller weights are what they are and they've never been, you know, but they're very rarely monster stars down at that weight. And I said, yo, when Michael Carbajal would have an incredible win, you not knowing who he beat isn't our problem.
Oh, I did see that. Yes, I did see that.
You know what I mean? I explained to people that you not knowing these world champions down there and you're going, duh, beats cab drivers. No. You think that because you don't know the sport. And this app has allowed you to be wrong about shit.
Right.
Because you said
that they don't watch fights of guys smaller than 147 pounds.
Yeah. And that tweet, that's what I said.
You know?
I let it be known that you don't get to dictate greatness because you're not a real fan. You don't get to say that XYZ is a cab driver. Who did he fight? I'll tell you who he fought and you won't know them.
Right.
Because you don't know the sport.
But again, can we do this with every generation against everybody when a guy's so good, he makes another really good, great guy. By the way, Fulton's pound for pound.
Absolutely.
He makes that guy look bad. So now it's like, oh, he sucked. A word?
Right. Now that's. See, there you can't.
It was
very much. This is where Inoue gets boxed, outboxed by the American with the American style. He hasn't seen a style like that. He doesn't spar with guys like this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Boxing lesson, XYZ, XYZ. Inoue is a hype job, blah, 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 which you and I never said. We just had so much respect for Steph and right. his boxing ability, we thought that might pull it off. We wouldn't do it.
He was the bigger guy. He's never been.
No, but yeah. But what I want to say is our defenses, Inoue was number two on our pound for pound.
Right.
So you can't say to us, oh, you guys never were Inoue fans until right. now. Now you No. He was number two. We had Cool Boy Steph at six. So right. in our opinion, whether or not other people, some people had a problem with some of your buddies, some of my buddies had a problem with us having Steph on the list at all. We had him at six. We had Inoue at two. In our minds, two top 10 pound for pound guys were fighting. And right. he just obliterated a guy you and I think are top 10 pound.
Look, man, again, are we talking like the best fighter of the decade? Fighter of the decade, best guy?
I think how do you pronounce his name? Marlon Tapales?
Uh-huh.
I think he destroys him.
Yeah.
They make that fight next. And then I think you go, when he does that, not if, when they'd make that and he does that, I think we have a solid, this is the best guy in 10 years.
Okay. All right. I just want to know.
I don't think you're crazy for thinking it now, by the way. Because
I mean,
he's 30 and his run is crazy.
This is insane.
I'm doing devil's advocate the same way you just did.
He's also,
you reel off the names, B, and people are like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, yeah, the guy's a fucking two division champion that he put through the ropes.
Right.
You not knowing him doesn't make it not real.
Right.
And that's what happens when we talk about these guys.
Well,
early episodes, we would talk about Chocolatito or Estrada or dudes like that. Or you go back to Finito Lopez. Defending 21 times, record breaking, and you go, who did he fight? I'm like, you not knowing these guys isn't my problem, man.
Right.
That's not my problem. Cool Boy Steph is elite. He's not, this is a good guy. Elite guy who beat real guys.
Well, I mean, I'm the only bad thing about this is that Inoue is 30. You know what I mean? But I will say this. One of his former opponents, one of his, you know, past opponents is Donaire. Still fighting. Yeah, Donaire, and he's in his 40s. So maybe the adage that the little guys age faster. And anyway, rarely, except against Donaire, takes too much punishment. So, I mean, he doesn't really get hit that much.
Their first fight, he got touched up a little bit.
He got his orbital broken, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Hey, B, did you see the thing Donaire said? Like this morning?
No.
It was like the shot that ended the second fight. That's the hardest I've ever been hit in my life.
Yeah, this guy's he's a monster.
No, I'm saying, but.
Yeah, but Donaire saying that.
Consideration who Donaire is, who he fought, and then the fact that, guys, a lot of you don't know this. Guys, people that fight at 115, 122, they might get in there and mix it up with a welter.
Yeah.
You know, they might not say this is the hardest I got hit. Each other. This guy's saying he's the hardest I ever been hit. This guy's been probably touched up in the gym by real welters, you know, or whatever. He's in there with guys who
Nicholas Walters fought Walters, got knocked out by him, right? And this is the hardest he's been hit.
Yeah, I mean, Nicholas Walters was looked at as the hardest puncher and most avoided in that division when Lomachenko retired him.
Right. The hatchet man.
Yeah, and he was a really good fighter, by the way.
Right.
There's another thing, B, that we have to talk about that I just wanted. I was thinking about our view of Inoue, right? Mm-hmm. Our view of pound for pound, and how much of we should start to consider what risks have these guys taken. Like, this anyways, fourth weight class fighting
the top
dog. Unified champion.
Didn't want anybody else wanted this guy.
No tune-up at the,
no tune-up.
At that division. Yo, let me see how my...
And he said why do I need a tune-up?
Right. Not just, yo, let me see if my power carries. Let me see how they feel. You know, tune up against a top 10 guy, top 20 guy, right into the best guy in the division, in my opinion. Because I would pick Cool Boy Steph over Marlon Tapales. Wouldn't you?
I would too.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So to me, he just be, even though he's not undisputed. He wasn't undisputed, meaning
they beat the legit best guy in that division.
Yes, and destroyed him. But there's no pat on the back for predicting a wrong, bad prediction. But if I have to try to find some way to pat myself on the back, I said, this guy better not stay in mid-range. And it's what he did for 8 rounds and got just destroyed.
I think I said that on my prediction, too. Like, either be all the way. You know, everyone, I don't think it was unique in what people were saying, too, because a lot of people were saying all the way in or all the way out.
No, I'm not a genius for thinking it. And both of us talked about
it. I was actually talking about myself. Yeah. He didn't do anything.
No, but anyway, did. So we were right. Just not the guy. The guy that we were rooting for at the time. And just let everyone know, B and I love Cool Boy Steph. It's not that we don't love Inoue. I must repeat, prior to this fight, we had him number 2 in the world.
Right.
So that's the evidence. It's not something we made up on the show. We post the graphics of our pound for pound.
I mean, I'm an East Coast guy.
Of course.
I root for East Coast guys.
And you've always liked Philly, and you've always liked the style of Philly fighters.
Right.
It's the same way with me. I root for a New York fighter most of the time, unless he's a bozo.
Right.
Because of, you know, it's in relation to Philly, we're like your little brother.
It's in the same neighborhood.
Same neighborhood. We're unfortunately broken up by New Jersey. Where this Irish Billy moved to and sold out.
He left you.
So, yeah, guys, Inoue is the best fighter in the world, according to B and I, and knock him out the box. He will be number 1 post Bud Spence, regardless of that outcome.
Regardless of what happens.
Remember when James Thunder, the bell rang and he hit Crawford Grimsley with the shot?
Yeah.
It was the fastest knockdown ever.
Maybe
that could change my mind.
Yeah, maybe.
We'd have to discuss. If ding ding and there's a knockout, we'll just be and I will discuss it. Maybe there'll be 1A and 1B. We'll fit another guy in the top 10. Let's talk turkey, Mr. Long.
Saturday
night.
We have the biggest fight. I would say biggest marketed fight since what, Vin?
You and I have said a decade. It's probably
since we're talking
Pacquiao Floyd. I don't even remember that year. Guys like 15. You and I. Okay, 7 years, 8 years. You and I were certainly part of the. I know, man. I know. I know. You and I were certainly part of the members of the boxing community that I rolled that fight. It was obviously 5 years too late.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it was a monster event. The same way, a freak show is a freak show. I'm not going to call it a full-on freak show because they were both still very good, very athletic, you know, and Floyd and Pacquiao both had good wins after it, actually. So, no, it didn't happen when it should have, but it was still a huge thing. I personally, just a personal opinion, we're not talking about that fight. I personally feel it probably would have played out that way in their prime. This is my opinion. But, yes. What has happened since then, monster fight wise? Like Fury Wilder was pretty big, and the rematches were pretty big.
Yeah, I guess
not that big.
To me, this feels like the biggest one.
If you think there's been a bigger fight since, I'm going to say a decade, which would put us at 2013.
Right.
You said that was 2015, so that's pretty close to a decade.
In that span, sure.
Yeah, guys, in that span, if you think there's been a bigger fight or event, you know, boxing event since then, feel free to check us. Nothing's coming to my mind, you know.
Me neither.
It's because we're both dopes. We're wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing else. But again, this feels so much better than Floyd Pack did in terms of prime, in terms of like Pacquiao had lost to Marquez. You know what I mean? By brutal knockout.
Brutal knockout. Brutal one-punch knockout.
And so this is both guys never been out. Both guys are undefeated. Both guys maybe just a smidge past it, but are really in their prime.
I don't know unless we're considering what he went through in his personal life. I think Spence is still in his actual physical prime. I wanted to ask you something. Lomachenko. Do you feel Lomachenko has lost a step?
Yeah.
Okay. Bud and Lomachenko are the same age. I'm not going to ask you if you think Bud's lost a step because we have no
indicator
or examples or data that shows that. Right. But are you looking at these? He's the same age as Lomachenko. And when talk, even before the Haney fight, whoever people picked him to win, picked him to lose, whoever people, there's this underbelly undercurrent of Lomachenko's a little bit past his prime. Still an elite guy, no question.
Yeah.
So whoever, look, I didn't have Haney Lomachenko close, but if you did, even if you gave it to Haney, you can't have given it to Haney and then said, oh, Lomachenko stinks. You know, even if you think Haney won.
Right.
You were seeing an elite guy in there. So my question to you is, where is your head at? They're the same age. Is he a different 35 to you? 35 years old, not 135 pounds. Yeah. Is Bud Crawford a different 35 years old than Vasyl Lomachenko is 35 years old?
I think their styles are play. Bud's style plays better to aging than Loma's does. Loma's, you know, more of a athletic style fighter. Not that Bud's not athletic, but Bud seems to.
So you're comparing it to when Roy Jones slips a little bit, it's over. When Bernard Hopkins slips a little bit, it's not.
Yeah.
Because the styles allow you to continue age at this level gracefully.
Right. And yes, okay. That's the way I feel. I also feel like, you know, obviously Bud being a switch hitter, certain stuff like that. He's got more sort of like tricks up his sleeve, traps, so to speak. You know what I mean? That'll offset the loss in maybe some of his natural athletic ability.
Athleticism and reflexes. Yeah.
Whereas in like Loma's very much a fast twitch reactionary type of guy. Not that Bud isn't, again.
No, I know exactly what you mean. You're talking about someone who
Loma's built like a sprinter. Bud's built like a distance runner. So it's two different types of body types. You can see it. I mean, it's obvious. And that translates to the way that they fight.
No, there are these guys that their athleticism and fast twitchies are their almost their who they are.
Right.
So you see them, if you're functioning at 100, that drops to 95. And that 5% might lead you to getting hit by a shot that 5% up ago you wouldn't have, like Roy.
Right. Right.
Look, how do you want to get into this? It's Saturday night.
We're in it.
Is there anything into the undercard that did you see Isak Cruz at the weigh-in with who he's fighting?
No.
It's like you next to your daughter. This dude's like 12 foot tall and fighting at 35. Cruz is yes, it's crazy looking.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything if the guy stinks. I'm just saying I don't think I've seen a height disparity like that. And I can't name the last time I had.
How big is that?
It just looks funny as shit. I mean, is Cruz like 3'8"? I mean, because Tank's small in terms of height.
He's 5'4".
That's pretty small, man.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, yo, couldn't you be like 6 foot and be lightweight, could you?
A lightweight? Yeah. Like, remember that guy, Ali Funeka?
Yes.
He fought,
I think, wasn't Chico close to like 6 foot? Chico Corrales or no?
Chico was, he was like 5'10", 5'11".
That's how this guy looks next to Isak Cruz. And you said he's 5'4" or 5'6"?
Cruz is 5'4". This guy's 5'9". I'm looking him up. He's listed at 5'9".
Okay. Bro, he's 5'10", 5'11". They're doing a little Iverson there at 6 foot from Georgetown. I'm like, bro, I stood next to Iverson. He's my height.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he was not. I've stood next to him too. He was short. Giovanni Cabrera. Oh my God, I'm looking at the pictures now. Jesus.
Can you see the side by side or no?
Yeah.
Does it look crazy or am I bugging?
No, it looks pretty. Oh, hold on. This is a split screen. Oh, yeah, he's. So Cruz's head comes underneath his like lip. So he's like a full, like, if you guys are watching the video, yeah, he's like in between, that's like the top of his head. It's like
pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy.
Nonito Donaire, they moved his fight to the undercard to spruce it up a little bit. I always like Nonito. You and I think, you know, he's
great fighter.
He's been Hall of Famer. His prime, Hall of Famer. But it's a nice name to throw on there. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you want to even really bother discussing with the undercard? Okay, cool. So Nonito Donaire and Isaac Cruz are both on it. They're both name guys if you know boxing. And hopefully they'll put on something that won't make us say, all right, time to get the pizza, time to get the wings.
I was going to say,
XYZ,
guys, you know? That's the time to make coffee. Because right. I think if you're on the East Coast like we are, this ring walk is going to be very late.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Could be midnight. Could be 12:30.
It could be 12:30, 12:45, yeah.
Yeah. So, B, let's talk about keys to victory here. If you're Errol Spence, what needs to happen?
Establish the jab early. Spence, let's just talk about Spence real quick. I think the most important thing for Spence to do is establish the jab and to stop Crawford's rhythm. And that jab from the southpaw stance can go two ways. One, he throws a really nice up jab, and what that does is it brings the guard up, opens up the body for him to get in there and work off the front foot. We've never seen Spence off the back foot. He's pretty much a one gear guy, and that gear is like 80 punches around the whole time, nonstop, off the front foot, bad intentions on a lot of what he throws. And he's trying to grind you down, get you the fuck out of there. But I think the most important thing for him to do is kind of disrupt what I think Crawford's going to try to do, and that's his movement. I think that's the most important thing for Spence to do, is to disrupt Bud's movement, and then start to go to the body. He's a naturally bigger man. A lot of people don't remember Bud won his first title at 35. This is his third division, and I think Spence attempts to go to town on Bud's body, really take him into deep water, sap his legs earlier in the contest so that he can attempt to move in for the kill, so to speak, in the last few rounds.
I think that is being undersold. When did Bud go to 47? Was it against Benavidez's brother? Was that at 40 or 47? That was 2018, but I don't remember what weight that was at. Was that 40 or 47?
I don't remember.
So
I have to look.
Now we would have to. I wouldn't normally ask you to look it up.
But oh, wait. I think it was Jeff Horn. I think it was the Jeff Horn fight. He moved up and got a title shot like right away.
But when would that have been? And how many fights has he had at 47? B? Can you look that
I'm gonna
up? Look,
yeah, I'm going to look it up right
okay.
now.
Okay. Because I want to make a point, and I want to see where your head is with that and whether or not you agree with me or not. The point that I want to make, and that is that thus far, when people were clamoring for the fight up until they announced the fight,
it was Jeff Horn. It was Jeff Horn.
And
2018.
That's all right. So I thought it was 2018, but I thought it was against Benavidez.
This will be his eighth fight at 47.
Okay, that's enough to know where someone's at.
Correct.
Okay. Nobody, since they've clamored for it, since they pressed for it, since it's been announced, has mentioned size. In any of those eight fights, did you look at any of those eight, because we both watched all eight of them, and say he's not big enough, or he's not equipped to be fighting at 147? Because I look at Errol Spence and see a guy 154 pounder that fights at welter. That's what right. I see in Errol Spence. And I'm very curious.
And that's what I used to see. That's what I used to see in Kell Brook. And that's what I saw in Jeff Horn. You know, that these are bigger welterweights.
I mean, Jeff Horn looked monstrous at 47 to me, you know.
Yeah, and so did so did Kell Brook always. Kell Brook was always, you know, big built guy.
Wide shoulders, which means
little short alligator arms.
Mm-hmm.
He always looked, I was always kind of amazed he could make 47 would appear to be relatively easily.
I have very odd takes on this man, and they're all very well.
What do you think Spence should do? And what should he establish early on?
Okay, well, look, you and I are proponents of two things on this show. We feel that people, younger guys, don't do them enough. And that is the jab, which is the most important punch in the sport, and body work. Our boy Marcos from Australia wrote in when we talked about why don't these guys throw the jab,
right?
You know, and he gave some interesting insight. I don't think either of these guys are guilty of the things that you and I say. Maybe this is what, you know, it's guys chasing a knockout, blah, blah, blah. These are both high IQ guys. Here's what I think about Errol Spence. I think he does everything good and nothing great. I think, look, this fight changes everything. He goes in there and does what he wants, what he says he's going to do. I've seen a plateau in him that I don't see in Bud. I still see, oh shit, in Bud.
Yeah.
Skills wise. I really would mirror everything you said. I would try to, when I say make it ugly, there's two types of making it ugly. There's Bernard Hopkins, make it ugly, stink it out.
Yeah.
Jab, right hand, elbow. The refs on one side, right? Step on your foot, spin you. The refs on your left, you throw a dirty shot on the right.
Right.
That's one type of making ugly. I mean ugly. I think he needs to make it look like the Mikey Garcia fight. To me, that was a stinker.
It was a stinker.
Double and triple the jab and put a right hand behind it and not hang around. I can't tell you, it's repeating myself. Even Marcos answered it when we asked people, why do some people abandon jab? If you have an opinion on this, please give it to me. You throw the jab. Cool. You know what I mean? They both throw jabs. Nice jabs. Both have great jabs too. And Bud can throw a nice jab from both stances too.
Right.
Which is probably fucking super hard to deal with if you're in there.
Sure.
So I always go, why don't guys throw the jab, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then we get guys that do throw the jab and they don't double or triple. Spence has got to double and triple that jab, come with something big behind it, blind him with the second or third jab, and change the number of throw two, put a right hand behind it. Then throw two and put a right hand behind it. I think you have to give him, Bud's too smart for you to keep giving him the same things. And I think,
yeah, I think it's important that he changes the level on it. You know, so he's going to.
Yeah, so the levels is huge.
And I think he's going to try. I think the plan here is he's going to, at least in the beginning, go after Bud's body.
But I don't think Spence's arsenal is. I'm at a loss for the word. I don't think that it's a very innovative arsenal of.
I was going to say educated.
Yes. Educated or innovative. I don't think he creates. I don't think he creates angles. I don't think he has. You know, some guys will have a punch or two that's unorthodox and it's almost their style. Like Golovkin, that looping shot would almost land on the top of your head. You know, a looped shot. Some people throw something that's a half uppercut, half hook from a different angle.
But Bud throws a weird hook from the southpaw stance. He throws it down.
Correct.
He throws a punch that like he faints with his left hand, who's in the southpaw stance, and comes around with a right hook. It's really wide. Like he's flapping wings.
Yes. And ironically, you think, a wide shot. It always works for him.
Well, yeah, because this is usually when he's got the guy hurt and they're looking for the straight shots at that point. You know what I mean? He's in the southpaw stance where he's going to get ready to, I was watching him like the last two fights. When he gets into the southpaw stance, it's a lot different than when he's in the orthodox stance. When he's southpaw, he's more of a counterpuncher. When he's orthodox, he's more of an aggressor. He wants to be first. So typically he starts the fight orthodox and he's first and he scores some points. He feels out his opponent. Then once he gets their timing down, he appears to switch to southpaw, and then the style changes. They start to push the fight and he starts to pick them off, you know, as they're coming in. I think you pointed out against Sean Porter in your prediction of that fight, he's going to wait for Porter to come in a little wild and sort of off balance, then start throwing his famous uppercuts, which he did. And then ultimately threw those hooks from distance, which are, you know, they don't look accurate. And they are. They land and they land
when you're
hard.
Getting hit by them.
Yeah, it's weird. His gloves always seem too big for his hands. So I think that's also part of it. Aesthetically, it looks, when guys have like little tight Grant or Reyes gloves,
yes,
they look sharper. When the guys wear the bulky winning, or very rarely do people wear winning. I think Inoue had them on the other day. When they wear Everlast, like the real, like Bud's gloves never look taped up properly around his wrist.
When Floyd would wear those white gloves, it looks like the John you would give your daughters to like play with.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But just how massive they look.
Yeah,
they look like two pillows.
Yeah, you know? I rode motorcycles for years, and not to get too far down a rabbit hole, one of the things they recommend is you wearing white, because the eye of the driver picks up white better than black or a darker color.
I always heard that the white gloves look better to the judges, you know.
Is it really? Because how would I describe this? Shots look more violent with the red or black or a dark colored glove to me. Like white makes things look bigger. Black makes things look smaller.
Right.
So that it looks like
the shots look more deadly and compact.
Yeah, like a tighter fist. Like it drives me nuts that Usyk wears white gloves.
Well, you know? I think with Floyd, it might have been part of the plan, because as he moved up, he wasn't knocking guys out. So, hey, I want you to show all my shots to look flashy,
look better,
with
right.
these big balloons on my hands, and look like
right.
I am landing them, which he was.
Sure.
I just think Errol Spence does everything good. If there's a knock, and it isn't a knock, it's just that I think when a kid comes into the gym as a kid and you're building them and you're throwing, you're teaching them the jab and the 1-2 and then coming back with the, I think he's very much the perfect fighter in that regard.
Right.
And I don't know if that's going to work against a guy that I think is great. I think you go, he throws his jab well. He throws his right hand straight. His hooks look like they're designed in a video game. His body, he looks like a designed video game fighter.
Spence.
And none of that is a knock.
No.
But those type of guys historically don't have intangibles.
His intangibles to me, or whatever you want to refer to him, are that, have you ever seen him tired? Have you really ever seen him hurt?
No.
He's like a fucking Terminator out there. He just breaks your will. He's front foot pretty much the whole fight. He's touching you. He's touching you. You're hitting him. Nothing's happening to him. He really doesn't even flinch. He's got like that crazy look in his eye too. Like, you know, Spence looks like he just doesn't look afraid of anything. You know, he doesn't really get out of character either.
No rabbit hole. You don't. We don't have to go on our phones or Google or anything. Just quickly. What would you rate his like if it was a test? What would you rate his competition?
Spence?
Yeah.
Out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's fought world champs. Eight out of 10. Same as Crawford. They've, you know, I think at 47, Spence's resume is better, but that's by circumstance. The fighters were.
Circumstance, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Crawford was avoiding them.
Yeah. I think I remember to me, there was a period of time where Errol Spence was an oh my God fighter when I watched him.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't been an oh my God fighter in a few years. Look, things happened in that time.
Right.
The pandemic, a car accident, none of that. He didn't control the pandemic.
Yeah.
He didn't control the pandemic. He made a mistake with the car accident, you know, and was hurt. Nonetheless, it's been a number of years since I saw the oh my God guy, the people talking at the barbershop guy.
Right.
But it's still that to me. He's more naturally gifted. His arsenal is more innovative. You use the word educated, guys, flip flop the word, whatever you want. I'm using the word innovative because he does, because everything Spence does. Well, is
innovative
right.
Makes more sense when you're talking about Crawford.
Right. Sure. Because I think Spence is a very by the book fighter and a great one, by the way. You right. should throw all those punches correctly and from right. proper angles. But the great guys create things. They create things in there. They're innovative with the style. They see the same thing that Spence does. Spence sees a straight right hand, you know, or Spence sees an opening for a hook. Bud's not throwing that shot. Bud's right. throwing one of those shots you spoke about earlier. He right. might switch stances and throw that thing that's, it's like, it's half, the shot. I know the shot you're talking about too.
Yeah.
It's half looped, half chopping.
Yeah, it's a chopping shot.
Yep. It'll land weird. Those things aren't in Spence's arsenal. Although the things that are in Spence's arsenal are all great. He does
right.
destructive body work.
Right.
He's walked through. I remember us talking about, you know, because we talked about when Floyd and Matty fought. We said, "Oh my God, it's been 8 years," and it's the same thing with you and I being friends. I'll forget how long.
Yeah,
it's been,
yeah.
You know,
it's been a long time.
I remember was talking like a long time. I think it was the Algeria. Like Chris Algeria, good fighter.
I was there.
Beat a guy like Provodnikov. Who's tougher than Provodnikov? Not saying right. better, but who's tougher than Provodnikov? The guy hit like a mule. Tim Bradley said the guy, he wasn't right in the head for what, like 3 months or something?
Yeah.
Provodnikov hit him. So Chris Algeria is a real guy, you know? And it was like a hot knife through butter.
Butter, yeah.
With Spence.
I was at that fight, and it's his punches are thudding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
it's my opinion. I think he should have got Mikey up out of there. I think he should have got Porter up out of there. I think Bud would have laid hands on Mikey Garcia at any weight class, because they were, you know, Mikey started smaller, kept going up. So there was
talk that they were gonna meet, yeah.
Right, right. At another weight, you know.
Right.
But Mikey went up to take that fight. And just, you know, stinker of a fight, guys. You know, we tell you, well, if you never saw a blah, blah, blah fight, make sure you watch it, guys. If you didn't see that fight, don't watch it. I think his destruction of people comes when he sees vulnerability. And when he doesn't see vulnerability, he's comfortable with that dub, with that W.
Right.
And he's comfortable going, look, I'm better. I can go, like you said, stamina, next level. His conditioning's next level. Look, I landed some big shots on this guy, and he's not budging. I'm comfortable doing this. I think that's very dangerous It's a habit I see of his. And then, bro, there's a lot of things that I think are weird, and you call them, you would call them, I guess they'd go under the heading of intangibles. Crawford was there for Lomachenko, Devin Haney. Cambosis. Right. What was the one before that? We've had like three or four in a couple months, right, B?
Yeah.
We keep talking about it. It is my opinion that Bud thinks, at very least, I got to knock this guy down one or two times. At very least. If we go down that rabbit hole, we're getting into predictions, and I don't know if we're ready for that yet. What do you think about that? How do you think these guys are going to fight each other? Is this going to turn into a firefight?
I think at points it will be, especially when Crawford inevitably turns southpaw, and like I was trying to allude to, was that's when he sort of gets into like counterpuncher mode. And I think that will mesh well with the stalker. You have two counterpunchers, the fight's going to suck, right? You have two stalkers, two swarmers. It'll be fun, but it's not going to last long. This will be a battle of wits, but I think it'll be fun once Bud gets comfortable and switches southpaw, which is what he usually does after the second or third round, or
I think he's going to stay orthodox until the third or fourth this fight. So I think when he switches and Spence starts coming at him, that's good for Bud.
Yeah, I think so. Bud's going to, you know, he's going to move. He's going to move both directions. He never really stays still. And I think he's going to try to get the bull, you know, Crawford to Ole. You know what I mean? I think that's what he's going to try to do. Crawford's going to try to get Spence, to follow him. When he follows him, I think he's going to try to rattle off bing, bing, bing punches and then get the fuck out of there. I think that's what he's going to try to do.
I also don't know how good Spence's defense is, considering that thus far he's used his offensive abilities as his defense.
He does. Yeah. He positions himself in a good spot not to get hit a lot.
Yeah. Spence. Yeah.
So he's on the right side of the guy's hip when he's inside, you know, throwing body punches. And he also is very good at picking punches off with his gloves. So
I think there's things you can do to negate that, when he's doing that, to me, that's where innovation comes into play. When you're talking about what he does, and you're absolutely right, when he does those things you just named, mm-hmm. the average guy, even good guys, don't know what to do with that.
Right.
I think a guy that has innovation in his offense will say, when he does this, I'm going to throw this shot that isn't a traditional punch. It's going to come from a weird angle.
Yeah.
How will that play into what if the things you say that Spence does that are defensively responsible? Well, if Bud's on the other side of that because he switched stances, there might be an opening there that other guys haven't seen or had the ability to take.
Well, one thing we have seen is Bud is vulnerable, right? He gets hit, right? Sometimes he stays in the pocket too long. Sometimes he gets in a firefight.
Yeah.
He likes that sort of shit. He's the kind of guy, he gets hit, he hits you back. He wants to fight, he sticks his tongue out. He starts getting, you know, he's in a fight. He's no longer, oftentimes he'll for a brief second lose his composure, you know, and you see Bo Mack kind of reel him back in. Brian McIntyre is his trainer. And you see him get excited.
Wide, sloppy shots.
If I'm Spence, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to get in his head, you know, and get him to do that and get him to fight me at close range.
If he fights the way he was younger, you know, he's got experiences there. You have a really good memory when it comes to actual fights. Do you remember how big and wide the shots were Bud was throwing at Gamboa when he thought he was
weird, like uppercut, like he was.
But bro, I'm almost talking like bum fights. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, yo, this guy is an elite fighter. What are these shots? Now, again, all that shit, we talk about this all the time. All that type of shit is erased when at the end of the fight and on his record on BoxRec, it says KO.
Right.
It's the same way I always bring up my one example is Franz Bolter embarrassing Mike Tyson for however many rounds. And then he throws maybe the most shortest, succinct, perfect right hand in the history of the heavyweight division.
Right.
Puts him into orbit. And now, you know, that's 1999, I think.
Yeah,
24 years ago, no one remembers that Franz Bolter was laying hands on Mike.
Right.
One remembers that Bud was doing what you said. Got completely wild, charged up. Y'all want to fly this dude's not. Like what I'm doing right now, if you can see me, I can look like a complete moron. You know, there was nothing right. Boom, 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 boom. Up the middle hooks.
Right.
Crisp, straight shots. Look, that shit that I talked about Spence being almost robotic, is the fucking death knell for Bud getting wild. Those shots that I said, oh, they're not very innovative. His offense isn't very innovative. It's very traditional. 1-2 with a 3 behind it, maybe, or 1-1-2 and a 3 behind it.
Right.
That's when that comes into play and and Bud's dead.
Right. You know,
and you say he gets wild. You just said it. He gets wild. Sure. He's been touched. He can be hit.
Right. And then and once he gets hit, he gets wild. So you know, to use the big fish metaphor that these guys are throwing back and forth,
which is,
you know,
very funny. Yeah, it's very funny.
It's almost like Spence goes to the fishing hole with his one lure and his one pole, and that's what works for him.
Yeah, you know? It might even be a stick, B, with a
like a bamboo. You know? Yeah, right. Yeah, Crawford shows up with a full tackle box.
In a boat,
but they all have the same success rate.
They get the same amount of fish.
Get the same results, you know. And it's one thing works for one guy, and the other thing works for the other guy.
And whoever implements that style is going to be the one with the most fish at the end of the fight. The way you're what a beautiful example you said with the fishing. I was very smart of you to bring that in. This very simplistic $10, reel that you buy at Walmart,
right?
You know, but you catch mad fish because you're that good with something that simple. That's comparatively
the truth. And opposed to the guy with all the little flies on his hat.
On his head.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
The whole gimmick.
He's successful. They're both very successful. One guy's just like Spence reminds me of a guy just like, you know what I'm saying? Like sitting down there and like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm whistling for the fish. And someone else is like, what are you talking about? You know, and then you got Crawford's got the fish finder. He's got this. He's got that. You know, he's got
apps on his phone. I guess
that takes nothing away from him. You got to be skilled to know how to work all that shit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just two different. This is a. It's just it's a style difference in style matches up.
Okay. Let me ask you this. We know Bud likes a firefight. We're saying, okay, he gets hit and he gets wild. I think he knows he can't do that. Well, we know he knows he can't do that.
I was just going to say, I think that's easily self-corrected.
It's self-corrected, but then you got, is he more cerebral than a guy like Arturo Gatti, who gets with Buddy McGirt, starts boxing again because he, in the beginning of his career, was a boxer. Starts boxing beautifully again. Look at the fight with Teron Millett. Look at rounds 1-4, Gotti Ward 1. The guy looked like a boxer on the outside, moving his hands brilliantly, throwing combinations, getting out of there. He gets clipped once, and what happens?
Yeah,
the switch goes off.
Right.
That he was never, rest his soul, to the very end, he was never able to remove that switch and say this switch is not helping.
Right. It wasn't, for lack of a better description, it wasn't really a you know, a thinker in there. You know what I mean? It was Crawford is more of a thinker, and I don't think I've ever seen Spence flustered in anything. The guy is as stoic as they come.
I don't know if it's because he's so dumb that he doesn't know any better.
I don't think he's that dumb. That's the thing. I just think it's like,
no, I don't mean as a fighter. I just mean like when I hear him talk, I'm like, is that, because like we both know people in the South. We know that there's a Southern draw. I kind of can't understand it. He sounds punch drunk, but I know that he's not, if that makes any sense.
Could be. I thought so after the accident. He sounded like shit.
To me, he sounds like when your man had one too many and he's talking to you.
Yeah.
And you kind of understand where he's getting at. But yeah, like, I mean, some words.
You're describing someone who's punch drunk.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But I'm wondering if he is. What tough fights has he been? I mean, if he is, it's the accident. I don't know what happened.
But I mean, it could be just these guys box from when they're kids. Thousands of rounds sparring.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's body is different. All right. So, yeah, you're right. He sounds punch drunk to me. And it's hard to sound like a bright guy when you're punch drunk. Just my opinion. Even if your faculties are still there. Right. I don't understand half of what he's saying. It's like
I don't find him that bad, but okay.
I also find him to be a dud, and people think Bud is a dud, and I think I didn't try to rhyme that. I think Bud is low key funny.
I do too,
and I think I think he's very dry, and people can mistake that for being a dud.
Yeah.
I think a conversation with Errol Spence, you'd fall asleep. I think Bud could act the same way, which appears to be the stoicism too, and you'd crack up a lot if you just kept letting him talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's
funny. He's always got that shit-eating grin, and those dudes are dangerous.
Yeah, he's that mischievous. Shit-eating grin.
He's like fucking Dennis the Menace.
Right.
At every stare down and something, no tough guy shit, just this little mischievous. He's got that, I got you, motherfucker.
I'm going to get you.
You know those guys? Motherfucker, I got you. And it's a smile. And there's a lot of what you're talking about, Spence. I think about Bud, that I don't see him being rattled. I don't see him. I
don't either. Well, that was what I was going to get into. And that's the same thing. So to piggyback on that, I never seen Bud get rattled. I never seen Bud shaken. I've also, as I pointed out before, never seen Spence tired. I never really seen Bud tired.
Neither have I.
You know what I mean? These guys have gas tanks. So.
And guys, look, I'm not putting much stock in this, and B knows not to. There's flabby guys who can go 15 rounds. There's guys that are built like muscle, guys that gas after three.
Right.
Look, B and I have seen both of these guys leading up into this fight. They both look like machines, like 147-pound Terminators.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen either of them look this good. I know that's cliche. There's so much. And another thing, B, is, again, we talked about let's bury the word casual in its relationship to boxing. I tried to avoid this word, but I can't. There's something about being a dog, and Bud is a dog, and people who are Spence guys, Spence is a dog, and I don't think he is.
No?
I don't think he's been in a position
to show me
he's a dog. So take that back. Take that back.
All right.
I can't say he's not a dog because I don't know. But I know that Bud is a dog.
Well, okay, so
you're undefeated Yuriorkis Gamboa. We're going to call him Prime, but we know he was probably 110 when he fought him.
Right.
So if Yuriorkis Gamboa was in his early 30s when they fought, we know he was really probably 40. But an undefeated Yuriorkis Gamboa, who was very good then.
Right.
Very good. Hurt Bud. I'd say
and was kind of on the tail end. You know, because he was moving up. Don't forget, he wasn't making weight anymore.
We're also taking in the fact that we joke on this show, but it's not much of a joke. Those guys lie about their age.
Right.
So you're saying tail end, and that's tail end of the lying age.
Right.
The age that was lying. So
I'll say the Kell Brook fight. Kell pushed him, you know, and he overcame, and he remember he broke the other eye socket?
Yes, after Golovkin.
Yeah, the opposite one.
I mean, hey, the argument could be made there that he was damaged by one of the most feared middleweights in recent history.
But what I'm saying is he gave Spence hell in that fight. And
Kell Brook is a very good fighter.
Sure. And a very tough guy. Rugged.
Speed of his hands was slept on.
Right.
At least over here, maybe in the UK.
And rugged, though.
Tough customer.
That's why when they were, and not to get down that rabbit hole, whenever they were bigging up Amir Khan, I was like, that's not going to be a close fight.
No, I mean, it was a bad fight to make.
Sure.
Other than the fact that over there, it's monstrous and they've hated each other for 100 years. But it was there, Pacquiao Mayweather.
Yeah.
It just ended up way more ugly.
Right.
For Amir Khan. So I apologize. No, I'm not saying Bud's not a dog. I'm saying
Spence.
Spence isn't a dog. I'm saying, to his credit, there haven't been many positions he's been in where he had to show that he is one. And remember when, who was training Kovalev in his prime? Don Turner?
Yeah, he was one of them.
Don Turner said that this guy is the meanest fighter I've ever trained. I think Bud is a mean guy, man.
Yeah.
In the ring.
He wants to hurt you.
I don't think he cares about... There's clearly... You critiqued him. I critiqued him. There's clearly something in Lomachenko that has to do with 400 amateur fights where he had Richard Comey very hurt and said, hey, guys, stop this. You know what I mean? That is not something Terrence Bud Crawford is going to do, guys.
Right.
There will be no Larry Holmes when he was waving the referee. You know, stop this. I'm letting my hands go. Ref, stop it. This is not a guy that cares about that, guys.
No, he's going to try to hurt you.
Do you remember the Ray Mercer knockout of Tommy Morrison?
Yeah, we're Morrison.
That's what Bud wants. And Ray Mercer was like, yo, I see a guy in front of me that looks like a corpse, and I'm going to throw another three punches.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Bud.
It's just kill mode.
He is in destruction kill mode. The Arnold Schwarzenegger, when you see through his eyes, is the Terminator.
Right.
That's what happens to Bud Crawford when he feels that someone is hurt or vulnerable, and they can be two different things. If he just keeps seeing something over and over, repetitive, yo, when I throw the jab, Spence drops his... When I stick this jab to the stomach, Spence drops his hands a quarter of an inch, and that's all I need to go upstairs. That's part of Terminator shit.
Yeah, I think it's methodical. I think Spence has it too. He's just like a expressionless...
You know what? You're not wrong.
He's for a guy who's like seems to be, you know, they're both family guys. They both seem, you know, unfazed by certain stuff. Crawford definitely, I don't understand when people say he doesn't have a good personality. Bud's fucking funny.
He's from the South, so it doesn't apply, but you and I are very, very East Coast rooted humor wise. We've talked about people we know from other places that don't get it. I mean, I've been in Cali, and like you could hear crickets in a room after I said something because they were mortified. I don't know how it gets to Oklahoma, but Bud's got this
Nebraska.
Very dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Omaha. Yeah. I meant to say Omaha, not Oklahoma. Sorry. Omaha. I don't know how it gets there, but it's this very East Coast centric dry wind. Right. That's not a Spence is a dud. Bud is just dry wit. But look, I'm sorry again for the umpteenth time. I started to keep making it look like I'm trying to imply that Bud's so much better. I'm just saying there's a difference to me, and the only difference is innovation. There's more innovation, and which in my opinion leads to more tools in the toolbox. Like you said, what is the fishing box called? A tackle box?
Tackle box, yeah.
There's more in his tackle box. Whereas you said, but guess what? Spence is still catching fish.
Spence is still catching fish. So,
and that can be applied to other things and other sports. Yo, this guy has a very, it's a rudimentary style, but it works. He's still putting up 20 and 10 every game.
Tim Duncan.
Yes, Tim Duncan's giving you 20 and 10, and his game was very boring.
Yep. But successful.
But successful.
You could, like, that's what I don't get.
And then,
like,
you watch Iverson. So they're both the same height, and they're playing one-on-one. Now, I don't mean it. With Tim Duncan at 7 foot and Iverson at 5'11". They're both 7 foot, and they play. I want to see that game.
Sure.
Because is this guy who's almost a robot on this court. This guy's a robot. The little bank shot over and over and over, and no one can stop him. And he shoots well from the free throw line, which no one does at that height. You know, all power forwards and centers of that generation stunk. Shaq shot 50% at the line. I think we're looking at that here. This guy who throws, the pitcher who throws slop against the guy who's throwing the heater, Ricky.
Right.
Got the 110 mile an hour fastball.
And then Greg Maddux,
the guy who's throwing who's throwing pitches that come in at 62 miles an hour.
Right.
I think that's what we have here. And who do you take if you're drafting these guys? And that means who do you and I take, and what do we think? If you agree with me with what I'm saying, that Spence is the guy with the stick on a rope fishing, but catches mad fish, and Bud is a guy with a bunch of stuff in the tackle box and catches the same amount of fish.
The beauty of this fight to me is it's a pick'em, and I've seen great points made on both sides.
Have you seen the line, by the way?
I have not. Have you?
Okay, let me look while you're talking.
I would assume Spence is the favorite, correct?
Gun to my head, I guess. And what do you base that on? I guess size, because there's nothing else. In my opinion,
Crawford's won every fight at welterweight by stoppage. Every fight at welterweight, he's won by stoppage.
Okay, so we have. Okay, for you and I, it's basically a pick 'em fight, like you said.
Right.
Spence is plus 120. So you have to. So that's pretty much even, guys.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much even.
$120 to win. $120 to win $100. That's, guys, when you're around that range, 120, 140, that's close to even.
Right.
Crawford is minus 150. So, guys, you bet $100 on Bud and he wins, you win 150. But that's very close. The over under in these type of fights, B, if you're a gambler, which neither of us are always very intriguing, and it's 10.5.
10.5.
10.5 rounds. Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty wild.
That's pretty wild, right? Guys, we have an 8 p.m. start time. They're saying main event 11. B, and I don't believe that for a second.
If that's the case, I'd be very happy.
Yeah. So B saying 11:30, maybe. I mean, B saying 12:30, maybe 12:45. He put that bug in my ear.
Yeah,
I was saying 11:30. I'm thinking maybe 11:45. B's 11, you know, is 8 p.m. there.
Yeah. I mean, that seems normal recently.
What do you think about the over under 10.5?
That's wild to me.
Where would you think it was? You're Vegas. You're making the over.
I was usually, they're not that
late.
Late. You know what I mean?
Were you thinking 9?
I was thinking 8.5 or 9. Yeah.
Okay. I think the later in the rounds that the over under is the more Vegas is pretty convinced it's going to be a nip and tuck close fight.
Yeah, and a decision, sure.
And a decision, you know. I don't.
Who was the last guy Spence knocked out?
Let's see, because it's part of why I said to you, yo, I'm trying to think of the last time I said wow. And was it Chris Algieri? I don't know.
No. I was at the Lamont Peterson fight too.
Oh, Ugas, his eyes.
Oh, he stopped Ugas, right?
Yeah, but it was. I mean, they stopped it. Ugas was like, "Let's dance."
Yeah.
Was that wow to you, B? That performance? The fight before that was Danny Garcia, who stinks. Fight before that was Sean Porter. Somehow that was an SD. That was a split decision. What an awful card was handled then. I don't know.
Ocampo.
Horrible. Before that was Mikey Garcia. Ocampo in one, I guess I was like, wow, this guy's the real deal. Lamont Peterson before that. Kell Brook before that, who gave him some. I mean, yeah, to me, it was like a little run. It was like Algieri, Leonard Bundu, Brook, Lamont, Ocampo. I was like strung together. It was wow.
Leonard Bundu fight was that was on after like the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, bro, that was outside.
That was outside in Brooklyn.
Over six, 7 years. That's when he first won the belt.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Mikey, Sean Porter, and Danny Garcia fights, I was like, look, all wins, I'm going to use the word reputable. I'm not going to use the word good. All reputable guys who have been around and fought everybody.
Solid
wins. And he beat them, solid wins. None of them, I was like, whoa. He beat them by doing what I said, which is fighting very methodically.
And the Mikey Garcia fight, I thought that he should have. I mean, there was no excuse not to score a stoppage.
I believe Bud would have stopped Mikey Garcia.
Absolutely. Danny Garcia knows how to survive. I don't know if anybody's knocking that. You know what I mean? He's never been down. He's never been out. He's got a hell of a chin.
Yeah. He's proving to be the second person in boxing history without the Boricua beard.
Yeah.
Number one being Hector Macho Tang.
Macho Tang.
Granite chin.
All right.
I'm going to say they both have different DNA. What do you think about that?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe. They were both raised in the States.
See?
That has a lot to do with
it. Who knows where they came from?
You know? Like, if Danny Garcia was...
Or what if their DNA is, like, mostly Spaniard?
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Could be.
What lends to the chin? The Taino blood?
I don't know. Maybe.
You have to ask your wife. Ask her cousins, who will then jump you. When you say, why is your chin so trash?
That's precisely what will happen.
I know. When you're at the next party, ask why you're walking out, like to the car. Like, why do you have bad chin?
I'll do it. No, right when I'm making a plate. You know what I mean? And they'll be like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about?
I say to my guys, yo, when you go to bed at night and your daughter kisses you on
the cheek, are you happy that there's a pillow right there?
Right. You're right out.
You got to have a padded pillow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So
let's talk predictions.
Shit.
Give up the goods, Brendan Long. This is where we have to. We have to talk turkey. And put
before, man, this is difficult. I'm going with Crawford by split decision.
Okay.
I think he's, and this is insane to fucking say, insane. He starts to push the distance apart between the two guys because Spence usually comes on late, right? And does well late. I think Crawford also does well late. And I think that he starts to widen the gap, so to speak, a little later. I think that the switching stances, and I can't believe I'm saying this, frustrates Spence, because it doesn't seem like anything frustrates Spence because he's just on the front foot in kill mode all the time. The little lateral movement, pick, 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 peck, 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 peck. And I've been wrong lately. I was wrong about Cool Boy. And so I'm going to say, Crawford in a nip and tuck, razor thin splitter.
What could I possibly say to you to be like, you're crazy? I can't. Let me ask you a question before I give my prediction, and it's a quick one.
Mm-hmm.
Not do you believe, because I know you believe in them. But do you think judges in 2023 will give a 10-8 round in a round that someone doesn't go down but is hurt badly?
Yes.
Okay.
I do think that I don't know about in this fight. By the way, Harvey Dock is the referee.
Yes. And are you hip to the judges?
Yeah. Not a great track record.
Tim Cheatham. Cheatham is his name. His name is Tim Cheatham. Cheatham is his name. Weisfeld is bad.
Bad.
I don't know. I like Harvey Doc. I'm okay with that.
I am too.
And David Sutherland is the other judge who has turned in some wonky cards. Look, you had Don King behind the Chavez, Meldrick Taylor fight. Mm-hmm. You had Don King behind Chavez, Sweet Pea, draw robbery. Does Al Haymon have that kind of power in Vegas? I do not know. Two of these judges I'm iffy about. I'm cool with Harvey Doc. I think Bud has to score a 10-8 round. I think he has to drop him or have him really hurt and get a 10-8 round to win. My prediction is that to us, you and I,
mm-hmm.
Bud wins the fight 7-5, 8-4, and it's a split decision draw. 2 cards, 114, 114, and another card, 115, 113 for Bud. And it's a split decision draw going into the rematch, which will maybe be at 54.
54.
I think that if they're the only way Bud wins is a round so dominant, any round, it's so dominant and he hurts him that it's a 10-8 round,
mm-hmm.
or he actually drops him where they have to give him a 10-8 round.
Mm.
And that's how Bud Crawford gets a win.
Oh, I'm also going to say, man, I don't think there's going to be any knockdowns. That's what I'm going to say.
You're probably right. That's why I asked you before my prediction, do you believe that a 10-8 round can be given out? I think it can hurt, be. Wobbly, holding on, you know.
Yeah.
Remember when Mosley clipped Floyd and Floyd brilliantly held on and came back?
Yeah.
I'm talking that, but it doesn't go that way.
Right. Okay.
He's on shaky legs. He's moving. I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm saying that's what it will take to get. I believe there has to be a 10-8 round for Bud Crawford to win. If there's a 10-8 round in this fight via a dominant round that's so dominant it's 10-8 or a knockdown, even a flash one where he gets
clipped. Right.
Because, hey, and on the other side, you could argue that Mean Machine, that was a real knockdown.
Sure.
Bud. And Yorkis Gamboa had him hurt. But so maybe I'll say it either way. One of these guys needs a 10-8 round to win this fight.
Hmm.
But I think Bud Crawford, to us, to you and I, to our eyes that I think are pretty good eyes, we have it scored 115, 113, 116, 112. That's thrown out the window. Majority draw. Well, was it two 114, 114s, and then another? Is that a majority draw or is that a split decision?
That's a majority draw.
So majority
draw. Yeah, so a split draw would be like 115.
113 for Bud, 115, 113 for Spence,
and then a draw.
114, 114. My apologies. Majority draw, in my opinion, unless there's a knockdown.
Very Vince specific.
It is. If Bud can clip him, and on the inside, when they're on the inside, which will a fight will break out, like you said, it spurts. If he can clip him and drop him, he needs that.
I think the way, if he does drop him, the way he's going to do it is with his uppercut, like he did with Porter, Spence is coming in and he steps back and throws the uppercut.
I think if he lands a shot that hurts him, it's on the inside and it's an uppercut.
Again,
and he needs that to win this
fight. I guess Ugas sort of hurt Spence in their last fight, but it was more
right
like,
hand, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was more like Spence was looking at the referee like, hey, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then Ugas threw a punch.
Yeah.
But we've never really seen Spence hurt.
No, until then, and you can argue that he was looking at the ref.
Right.
And a clean shot from anyone
hurts.
hurts.
Right. So
your feather fist.
I mean, yo, this is crazy. Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm excited for Saturday. I'm excited.
Me too. Now let's bring in this Irish Billy. So see if he has anything.
It's eating
again. Lots of people getting fresh with us lately.
Twitter,
mails, everything. Everyone's a tough guy.
Yeah, I've been asked to be muted on this podcast.
Sorry, I was snacking.
Yeah, someone got tough with me on Twitter. It was funny, though. He was a funny guy.
He's a funny guy?
He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it.
What do you got, Bill?
All right.
What's he chewing on it now? Drinks or Cheetos?
I think a little dessert.
Pretzels.
A combo.
I love combos, by the way.
Yeah. Do they still make them?
Yes, I eat them a lot.
Spicy habanero Tostitos.
You're putting pretzels in salsa?
What ethnicity is he, Brendan?
This is
just saying
street rat. That's what he is.
Yes. No other ethnicity would do what he's doing.
What about a nice chip? A tortilla.
A tortilla.
I don't got any chips.
Just make it
do
like a
dad.
So
you're making do.
Just midnight dad snacking.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I like it. I respect it.
All right. Well, as Vince said, we got a little action in the mailbag.
Some action in there?
Some action in the bag. Oh, sounds like my better than my vacation. Oh.
I get no respect.
We got Matt Najera checking in. What's up, fellas? Matt from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
It's probably Najera.
Probably.
Nada. Yeah.
I'm not good at reading these.
Oh, we know. That's why I like you reading them.
I'm calling for the muting of Killer B's mic without notice for the next pod. Whoa. As hilarious as they are, mm-hmm. the accents were just bad on episode 50. I think you went too hard on Irish Billy. I agree. And Box Cutter Paz for missing the fight as well.
Agree.
The yellow journalism and fake news. Keep up the great work. Best podcast ever.
Stop blowing people on this podcast to get your shit read.
Wow.
How about that?
How about this? Agree with all of that except for the muting. But he absolutely was.
Get some thicker skin.
I, for one, thought the accents were great last episode.
Terrible.
Why thank you, Billy.
Terrible.
Nikola Najdovsky checking in.
Okay.
Blarney Wilford, just wanted to drop you an email to say thanks for the
show. What does that mean?
I don't know. Okay. I was hoping one of you guys.
No.
Just wanted to drop you an email to say thanks for the shout out a few episodes back. Quick question for Vin and B. Off the top of your head, what are your top two or three favorite body knockouts of all time? For me, it's Mickey Ward's brutal shot that pancaked Alfonso Sanchez's liver and Triple G's devastating blow to Matthew Macklin's midsection that echoed like a gunshot on TV. Thanks again, guys. He's a proud knocker, a beardy, a gimmick gang member, and an accent enthusiast.
Wow. Absolutely. Before he said it, I was going to say the Mickey Ward shot. Roy to... Virgil Hill. Roy Virgil Hill and Arturo Gatti, Leonard Doreen. Just off the lid, you know. Probably, mm-hmm. you know, guys. Probably
I have no argument with that. Yeah.
All right. We got Tyler Nolan checking in. Some of these guys, you might have already talked about a lot of this stuff, but because they're checking.
Yeah, if we talked about it
the last 2 weeks, but. Just give a comment if you can. First, on behalf of your entire fan base, I'd like to thank you for not covering the Kambosos fight. Much appreciated. Here's my question. Almost everyone I talked to about the Spence Crawford fight agree it's a 50-50 fight, yet the real boxing heads I talked to have all picked Crawford to win. Do you all have the same experience? And he said, what do you make of this? But you've kind of...
Hey, B said it. It's 50-50. We read the odds. That's as close, 120 is as close as you can get.
I'd say most of my boxing friends, analysts and otherwise, are picking Spence.
there's very much a division and hate amongst fan bases. And yeah, your guy's going to get destroyed. And no, your guy's going to get destroyed. And but this guy's a this and this guy's a that. Things are getting ugly. What's more odd is it's still become racial, even though both guys are Black Americans.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. It's absolutely become,
you know what,
racial.
I stand on the outside of that one. I yes, ain't getting I involved. Okay.
Neither am I, but I'm watching it.
Sure.
But I don't get it, guys. If any of our listeners that are Black Americans, because that's what these guys are, you know, people from the islands are different, though. Some of them hate Black Americans. If any Black Americans have any idea why this is turned racial with two Black guys from the South, let me know. Right. Although Spence is from your neck of the woods, born,
yeah.
Yeah. But he's as country as they get.
Certainly.
Go ahead, Philly.
All right. It's getting late, so I'm skipping some of this mailbag. But we always got to hear from our buddy, Walter Sobchak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Howdy, fellers. First off, just wanted to say, hope you gents are having a great summer and great work on the podcast. I'm enjoying each and every episode, so thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I believe this might be Walter Sobchak, a.k.a. Derek from Texas.
It is Derek from Texas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That being said, Brendan, what is this vacationing every week shit?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to come to work? What are you, Howard Stern? I understand caviar and the Playboy Mansion are very tempting, but you've got responsibility here.
It's in the grotto.
This is a very interesting question.
The Playboy Mansion.
Was this a passive-aggressive payback?
It's a 90s reference.
Wait. Please read that again.
Was this a passive-aggressive payback for being left at the altar in Atlantic City earlier in the month? Not very nice. Do you think Bobby Heenan would leave Gorilla Monsoon high and dry?
This is a very good email.
Two huge fights in a week and your weekend at Bernie's?
Uh-huh. He was, too. I saw evidence.
And where was Billy? Billy is part of the talent. Pazzy needs help. Poor guy.
Weekend at Brendy's.
Brendy's. Well, Billy was, Billy, where were you? You were at the beach too, right?
And we don't talk about me.
Brushed right over that, didn't he, me?
Yeah. Tell you what, Vin, next time Maverick and Goose over here dump you in the bed, give your old pal, Derek from Texas a call. I'll fly with you.
I will, Derek. Thank you. And that's what will happen. I will start calling.
Backups. Yeah. Signaling to the bench.
Relief pitcher. I'm calling all right. in.
Calling people in from the pen.
I'm calling in the Sandman.
Mo Rivera.
Also, real quick, the combo in UA finished Fulton with was absolutely beautiful. It's my favorite punch combination. Like legit a work of art. Vincent called it perfectly on the last episode. He's like the lefty Rosenthal of boxing picks.
Oh my God. This guy really wants to co-host this show.
He wants you out.
Seriously.
Love you guys. Get to work. Your partner, Derek from Texas.
We love you too, pal.
I think the next thing is he's just going to offer up like foot massage. You know what
I think
mean?
I think he just might kill you. he's very, just like you. He's very hot-headed, very bad temper like you.
Feeling froggy, Joe.
How many times have you threatened to kill Billy and I? Usually by
Never.
Stabbing. Usually by, isn't that what he says, Billy? Stabbing is what he goes to. Mm-hmm. I'll stab you is what he says first.
I've never said that. That's hearsay. That's yellow journalism. And probably
really, I think we should put them in Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leave.
We're gonna
wait a second. You're listening to the first thing?
No, I've just you treated us very poorly regarding Atlantic City.
I treated you poorly.
Correct.
This is reverse match? Psychology. Hey guys, correct. Let's meet in Atlantic City. Awesome. Then you go and you're like, where are my friends?
He wanted me to ride a donkey.
Acts like we confirmed and like we're like, hey, I'm staying in room 207.
Right.
Hey, dude, drive three hours down here. I live 5 minutes away.
No, it's not true. That's yellow journalism too.
No.
That ride is looked at and Billy will confirm this. It's looked at. Oh, Philly to AC is nothing. It's a little more than that. It's not as annoying.
And it takes me like 45 minutes.
It's
so.
Not as an. It's
are
not
we really
annoying.
Complaining about a 45 minute
no, no,
drive?
No. It's not as annoying. It's not as annoying as Philly to New York. But it's over an hour depending on when you leave and what time and I had no ride.
You have a license.
I do.
You have a vehicle.
I do.
He had a ride.
I didn't want to come back the same night because we would have ended up hanging out all night because we don't get to hang out ever.
There you go. And it was, look, write in KEOTB boxing at gmail.com. And maybe we'll get a survey. Who's more to blame? The person who schlepped it down to Atlantic City?
Nonsense.
Or the two guys that couldn't get it together? And
the person who's had two vacations in 2 weeks
decided to go out to dinner with each other in Philly.
And that was one of his vacations that he's trying to pin it on being work.
Right.
It was work.
He's on the beach.
He had his whole family with him.
He's with the girls in the ocean. Look, he's at the ocean right now. Look at the background.
Right. It was work. I bring my family to work. You ever heard of bring your kid to work day? You ever bring your kids to work, Billy? No, I don't think
Never.
No,
then he went on another vacation and I had to do a show alone.
Right. When will it end?
Right.
Hold on. Where was the producer for that show? Pablo produced. That's Pablo's production credit. Editor and producer.
It is Pablo's production credit. He's
Pablo's,
the only one that
Pablo saved the show last week.
Yes, he did. In the summary, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Which one?
That Pablo produced that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I know you've been sabotaging Pablo's career as a podcast producer for a very long time.
Very long time. Hmm? Broad Street Breakdown, Knock Him Out the Box, No Respect.
This is a lot to take in.
It is. All right, I think we should just wrap it up.
But it was a high note the whole show.
It was.
This Derek from Texas comes in with division.
That you all fired up.
And rabble rousing.
You had to bring it down with your bad temper and inability to handle.
I don't know what you're talking about. Again, that's all hearsay.
It's not hearsay when there's another witness.
You think with all these vacations, Billy has, he'd be like happy, relaxed.
When we turn off recording and we're talking about lives and bust your balls, you said, I'll kill you both. I'll stab you multiple times.
This is
almost
not
every week. How many episodes is this? 52?
I'd say 40 of them.
Our lives have been threatened.
Wash your mouth out with soap and bite
40
your tongue.
40 or 52 episodes.
This is dirty talk. That's what this is.
40 or 52.
The name of this show should be Knock Him Out the Lies. Okay. Never. Because what you're doing is telling lies to our audience, telling lies to yourself. You're telling lies to Billy. And when I run this back and show my kids, guess what? Uncle Vinny, you're lying to my kids.
It's not true.
It is true.
Guys, get this fight. I don't know how much the pay-per-view is yet. It's probably ridiculous. I'll bet it's 100 clams. Most people, you know, that's, you know, not in the budget of people, you know, that are married with kids. The way you fix that is, you know, people throw in, get some food, but don't be out there drinking and driving, especially with Uber. You know, on a big fight night, people like to get sloshed. So make sure you.
And I recommend pretzels with salsa.
Ridiculous. What?
That's your rec for this fight? For this
recommendation for the fight?
Is pretzel sticks and a salad.
They're actually
pretzels. It's 85 clamorinos.
Okay.
$84.99. So Billy will be paying for me and you since, you know, he's Mr. Moneybags over there.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. It's got big time contracts, this guy.
Well, Billy. Plus he's funneling my rap money. So he's really, it's me paying for myself.
I never got reimbursed for my headphones.
Mm-hmm. Neither did I.
Or my camera, or my computer, or anything. So
what about the stickers?
I don't see any stickers. The stickers aren't even real.
Mm-hmm.
What about the giant, I
physically took a picture and sent it to you. Another smear campaign.
Well, that could have been anything.
I made them in my house.
Yeah, you didn't show me a plethora of stickers. You didn't even show me several stickers. You showed me a template.
I'll take a picture of the in my hand.
You showed me one template. There's a template.
I'll take a picture of the box of stickers.
Billy, do you have any stickers?
I don't have any stickers.
Yeah, exactly. This sticker gate is getting really, really spooky. All right. This guy's got stickers. We don't know where the stickers are.
Guys, KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. All questions and comments. And this Irish Billy will read them. On Instagram, I am at BoxCutterPazzy. On Twitter, @Vinny_Paz. Getting fresh with me on there.
What are you on Threads? Does that keep the same? How does that work? Yeah,
Threads is BoxCutterPazzy.
So real
whatever
quick,
you are on IG, it mimics it. You don't have to do any work, legit. I'm none. And I'm a tech retard.
And you're on Threads?
Yes.
Like active?
Yes, yeah, active. Whatever I tweet, I put on there.
Is it as poisonous as Twitter? Or is it's, it as like Instagram is very nice?
I'll tell you what it is. You don't have to see what people are saying to you on Threads like you do on Twitter.
Mm.
If you don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, yeah, you guys are good at lying to yourself, so I'm sure you'd like that a lot better.
Wow, that's very cheap. Yeah, BoxCutterPazzy on Threads, BoxCutterPazzy on Instagram, on Twitter, @Vinny_Paz. JMTstore.com for anything I do musically, and knock them out the box t-shirts. I think there's a couple left. B stole a lot of them.
Holy crap.
And gave them out for free.
I did not give them out.
I saw a crew of people with them on.
They bought them.
Mm-hmm. I don't see
a crew of your people. Those are my fans, friends.
I see no data to support
my fans
those
became
sales.
My friends, and my friends mm-hmm. are my fans.
Give them your stupid
social media @TheKillerB24 on Twitter and @I_know_that_kid on Instagram, which everybody, by the way, seems to like. I get a ton of DMs and mail about how great my Instagram name is. So with that said, we will reconvene soon after this fight. I'm very excited. $85. Pony up the cash. Get the fight. Later.
That's right. All right, guys. We'll see you soon. Peace. Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out. Knock him out the box.